Yeah. How about a deck of yeah for the state of Wisconsin? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, you know that Rocket can. All right, come on in. Let's get it. Wisconsin, Milwaukee, all of you, telephone number, toll free. Take advantage of it. In fact, I want to hear from you. I might not even screen this as rigidly as I normally would. The new guy, Tommy, has been instructed. Let them through. If they want to talk, if they want to call, if they want to celebrate, if they want to be a part of this thing, go ahead, start dialing right now, 1-800-636-8686. Normally, my thought is, have a take, don't suck. I almost don't even care if you do suck. It's a big day, Bucks fan. Go ahead, hit us up. What are you waiting on? 1-800-636-8686. Don't have a take. Suck away, Bucks fans. Anyway, you see what I'm getting at. It's a rare time. First time in decades. First time in 50 years. Why would you not celebrate? I've got phone lines. I've got an entire nation. And you have a big platform. Celebrate. You're probably hanging a little bit this morning. You might be feeling it. Your guy Giannis already in the news again this morning, and for all the right reasons. Let's get at it. You have your telephone number. If you'd rather participate on social media, go ahead. Hit me up at Jim Rome. You can also email me. Yes, we do take emails still. Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. 1-800-636-8686. You know, normally I would tell you about the rest of the program, set up the interviews. I'm not even going to do that. We have interviews. I will get to them later on. I want to get to what went down last night. I want to get to your phone calls right now. 1-800-636-8686. All right, let me start by saying, this is me clearing my throat. I'm getting ready for something big. Milwaukee, how are you feeling this morning? How about you, Madtown? How is life in Eagle River? Stevens Point, Medford, Egg Harbor, react to me. I want to hear from Chippewa Falls, Boyceville, Butternut. Have you got a pulse? Is this on? Can you hear me? React to me. I want to hear from anybody. Anybody anywhere. Hello? Am I dead? Are you alive? Hey, because y'all did it. You did it. What up, butter knife? It's my homage to the plastic knife. Anyway, they bleeping did it. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions for the first time in 50 years. And you could not have asked for a more impressive performance. Look, I know it's very easy to be a prisoner of the moment. It is easy to think that the thing that you just saw was the greatest thing you've ever seen. However, Giannis going for 50 and 14 rebounds and 5 blocks in a closeout game is one of the greatest things you're ever going to see. Bleeping legend. Nobody can ever, ever question this guy's greatness ever again. Nobody can ever question anything about this guy ever again. A freaking made dude if there ever was one. Madtown, react to me. Not only for winning it, but because of where he won it, because of how he won it, by dropping a 50-piece in Game 6 to complete a comeback from down 0-2 to clinch the NBA title at home. Like, what I'm saying to you is there was no way in hell that guy was going to let that series go back to Phoenix. No way in hell that guy was letting anybody get back on an airplane. He was an absolute killer at both ends. You know, one of the criticisms that people have thrown around at Giannis in the past is he's just too nice. This guy's not the stone cold, cold-blooded assassin that MJ and Kobe were. You know, the kind of dude that would snatch your soul. The kind of dude that could rip your heart out. Yeah, let's go ahead and call bullcrap on that once and for all. Go ask the Phoenix Suns how it feels to have somebody reach into your chest and rip your heart out. Because Mr. Nice Guy just did that to them, and he pissed on, tinkled on any chance that they had for some history of their own.
I wanted to take a tinkle that came back.
And that's not just showing up on the big stage when his team needed it most. Giannis dominated every single timeout. Like when everybody else on the floor was gassed, he still seemed to have yet another gear. He still seemed to be the guy that had energy when nobody had any at all, which is mind-blowing in and of itself, but even more so when you consider what he did in this series, what he's done over the past few weeks, what he did on a jacked-up leg. What I'm saying is, I cannot give this guy enough credit. Nobody can.
For real.
For real. It is simply one of the most impressive things I've ever seen in any sport. And you knew this guy was ready to go from the jump when he opened up last night with that block and that bucket.
Mikal Bridges running the floor. Shot blocked by Antetokounmpo. Once again comes out of nowhere and throws it off the backboard. Giannis down the other end. He takes it home.
What are you waiting on? 1-800-636-8686. Remember after game four, I said that if the Bucks did come back to win this series, that alley-oop block would be the turning point. I hate to say I told you so, but I freaking told you so. I know this dude is a two-time MVP. I know he's a defensive player of the year. He's great. We know this. But nobody could have predicted that he would go out and do actually what he did. That's how transcendent this guy is. That's how dominant this guy is. Let me give you a quick rundown of his performances in the finals. Game one, 20 points, 17 rebounds in his first game back from injury. It was a game that he wasn't even guaranteed to play. Domination. Game two, 42 points, 12 boards, 4 assists, 3 blocks. He's starting to warm up, but they're down 2-0. Game three, 41, 13, 6. First Bucks win. Game four, 26, 14, 8, and this.
Now Booker with Tucker on him. Throws it up for Ayton. Shot blocked by Antetokounmpo. What a block from Giannis.
Game five, 32, 9, 6, and this.
Booker driving. Chicken wings again. In the lane. Holiday rips it away. 16 seconds to go to Giannis. Slam it. How about that?
Game six, 50, 14, 5 blocks, and bleeping 17 of 19 from the free throw line. The guy who fans have been mocking for weeks for his struggles at the line. The guy who Chris Paul was clowning for his free throw shooting suddenly somehow morphs into Steph Curry and Steve Nash combined. I mean, honestly, one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. I mean, figure this out. In a closeout game, when his team was struggling offensively, he just keeps going right to the line, and he's draining free throws like he's been doing it his entire life, like he's freaking Mark Price or something. He turned a perceived weakness. Hey, you like that one? You guys like that? Like he's Mark Price or something. This guy turns a... Thank you, Alvy. Thank you very much. Thank you so little, Alvy. He turns a perceived weakness into a strength in the most important game of his career. Like, how is that possible? Who does that? Let me answer that for you. Nobody does that. I don't remember Shaq all of a sudden going 20 for 22 from the line in a closeout game. It goes without saying they're not in that spot if not for what the freak did at the free throw line. With each trip to the line, this guy turned last night from a battle into a coronation. It's kind of funny because when people around the league think about life after LeBron, where does the conversation typically go? Where does it go? It goes to Luka. The expectation is he is the next one, that he's the one who becomes the face of the association. And for some reason, folks just gloss over the 26-year-old with two MVPs and a Defensive Player of the Year award. If you've been doing that, you owe this dude an apology. Because that guy has two MVPs, a Defensive Player of the Year award, a ring, and a Finals MVP. And yes, he is still just 26. And here's the other thing. He's not desperate to show you how tough he is or to prove to you what a badass he is or how hard of a dude he is. My man is all about the love. Like, He's not running on hate. He's running on joy. I'm not sure I've ever seen a more joyful killer in my life. And best of all, he did not leave to do it. He did not leave to do it. He did not join forces to create some super team somewhere else. Nothing against people who've done that. Nothing against people gaming the system. Nothing against folks taking advantage of the way it's set up. But all the credit in the world for not doing it. For not having to do it. For staying right where he was. And better yet, right where he is Milwaukee of all places.
Coming back, I was like, this is my city. You know, they trust me. They believed in me. They believed in us. Even when we were lost, the city still was like on our side. You know, obviously I wanted to get the job done. But that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still one. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way I chose to do it. Oh. And we did it. We did it, man.
Incredible, man. Has there ever been a better superstar? A more likable superstar? And they sure as hell did do it. They sure as hell did it. He sure as hell did it. He deserves every second of this. And whatever you do, go ahead, Alvy. Sorry I stepped on him.
But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way I chose to do it. Oh. And we did it. We did it.
Whatever you do, do not come in here and talk to me about injuries or about how all of this would be different if X happened or if Y didn't happen. You can say that about every year and every single champion. Do not bring that garbage around here. Giannis and his crew just fought through one of the toughest seasons you're ever going to see. And this guy's out here on a leg that looked mangled only a few weeks back. And last night, he completely emptied the tank, right to the point that this guy was still cramping up in a post-game interview.
A second, I'm kind of cramping. Can you hold this, please?
Hey, just stand up, big fella. Do what you got to do. Yeah, take your time.
Give me a second.
I must have asked a really tough question.
No, it was a tough question. I'm cramping. It was a tough game. Okay.
Would you like us to give you a minute?
Yeah, we on your schedule, champ.
We're here until you're not. So
yeah, let me get some gathering. Sorry, guys.
No, don't be sorry.
Look, I know he didn't intend it that way, but there's nothing more legendary than saying, I'm kind of cramping, can you hold this? And then handing the Larry O and Bill Russell trophies to somebody to hold on to for him. Which is awesome. Man, just says everything about last night from Giannis was awesome. Look, I'm not going to bury LeBron or Steph or KD or any of the guys in their 30s. They've got plenty of good balls still in them. But you don't need to look for the next thing. You don't need to look for the next thing. The next thing is already here. The next thing resides in Milwaukee. And he and they are world champions. World bleeping champions.
World champion. World champion.
So let me ask you this the morning after. How does the MVP of a world championship team celebrate like every other world champion celebrates, like every other MVP celebrates, like every other future Hall of Famer celebrates, by rolling that bad boy right through the drive-in lane at the local Chick-fil-A.
Can I have a 50 piece? Sorry, I will put you, can I put your camera? Do you mind or no?
Sure.
There's 150,000 people watching you right now.
Really?
Yes. So can I have, please, a 50-piece Mac Minis, 50 exactly.
Okay.
Not 51, not 49, chicken minis, yes, 50. And let me have a large drink, no ice, half Sprite, half lemonade.
What a boss. The 50-piece. My man went with the 50-piece, informed her that 150 girl were watching her. Could he get a large drink? No ice. And how did he go? Like, is that like some kind of like Arnold Palmer? Half Sprite, half lemonade? My man, Giannis. 1-800-636-8686. Fond du Lac! I want to hear from you. I've got more thoughts also. It's not just Giannis. I want to give some credit to Mike Budenholzer, the supporting crew, other members of the Bucks. Not a one-man team. An incredible MVP, but not a one-man team. So I want to get to that. I want to talk about the Suns. I want to talk about Monty Williams. I want to talk about Chris Paul. Lots to get to, but what I really want to do is bang telephone calls. I do have some interviews. I've got a Patriots safety, Adrian Phillips, at 9:40. Second hour is wide open. A couple of interviews in hour number three. An ATP coming up later on, too. Jim Rome podcast with Olympic legend Gail Devers later on today. Wednesday, always a busy day here in the jungle, but especially on a championship Wednesday. Bucks fans, come on in. Phone calls next. Do you have a car problem, but you're not sure where to go? Maybe you are not close to home when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts shop referral program, you can take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Click find a repair shop and find a reputable repair facility or a service center for your repairs. If it's just a new battery that your car needs, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts and their professional parts people can help you find just the right battery for your car. Superstart batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, are designed to meet the electrical demands of today's cars. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, or more. Just order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick it up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They will even bring it out to you curbside. O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Remember, something we do every Wednesday, the Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question. And remember to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, quick reaction. Again, I'm looking for telephone calls. Notice I said off the very top where I would normally say to you, have a take, don't suck. I don't even care if you do suck. Go right ahead. It is your day, Bucks fans. Quickly, some reaction then to the phones. This says, Rome, more like CP 1 and 13. Am I right? Signed, Scott Foster. You can't put that on Foster. You cannot put that on Scott Foster. You can try and put that on CP 1 and 13 if you want, but I've got thoughts on that. I'm not here to bury him. I am here to say that he's going to be haunted forever by that, but I'm not here to bury him. We'll get there. Romy, who needs a super team when you have a superhuman? It's almost not fair. Vio from Irvine. That's a good point. Realtor Moore. Joe Moore writes, my 11-year-old daughter watched the end of the Bucks game with me. I told her she would never forget that moment. I'm 44 years old right now. This is my first championship. I hope she sees many more. I am just so happy right now. Hashtag go Bucks. Hashtag champs. I feel you. In fact, I will be with you all soon enough in my adopted second home state of Wisconsin. Hey, Rome. Ask Chris Paul to tell me how my ass tastes.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
Regards, Giannis. See, this is the thing, and that's the point that I'm trying to make. I'll get to that later on. The beauty of Giannis is, if anybody could, he could, but there's no way he ever would. He's all about the love, man. He's the most joyous, joyful superstar I've ever seen. He's not running on that kind of fuel. He's not a tell-me-how-my-ass-tastes kind of guy, although he could be and probably should be.
We did it, man.
Brian in San Pedro, quote, hello, Jim Rome Show. Name, city, blood type. Signed, the new guy, a.k.a. the Count.
My Count Chocula cereal.
Count Chocula. Dracula. Hello, Jim Rome Show. Name, city, and blood type. No, I mean, the new guy's just effectively saying. You know what he's saying today? He's not saying name, city, blood type. What he's saying today is, effectively, name what part of Wisconsin. He's not even asking what your take is. We're letting everybody through.
When the Bucks win a championship for the first time in five decades, you get to come right through. We don't need to know your take or your topic or even your blood type. Let's go to the phones. First stop today, Madtown, Madison, Vincent. What's going on, Vincent? How are you?
Thanks for the vine, Jimmy. How's my Wisconsin brother doing today?
Dude, I'm so good, man. How about us?
You still got that geese problem, man? You still got that geese problem? Because I can recommend somebody to you.
What do you got?
Giannis Antetokounmpo can walk into that town, take a Phoenix Suns player, swing it around by the neck, and end that problem for you, man. It's the same thing. We don't have a Suns problem anymore. It's a great day in God's country, Jimmy. And just a quick shout-out. Hey, Suns and Four Guy. Suns and Four Guy, did you enjoy your little 15 minutes of fame, buddy? Did you? Because it's over now. Tell me how my ass tastes. Jimmy, I'm going to go back and have an old style in God's country and celebrate Giannis Antetokounmpo being the best NBA player right now and for the foreseeable future. Have a good day, my Wisconsin brother. Hope to see you in Eagle River real soon.
My man, Vincent, rack him. You will be, too.
Rack him!
If you're in the Northwoods, if you're in Eagle River, you will be seeing me very soon, Vincent. Very, very soon. Sooner than you know. Like Saturday? 1-800-636-8686. All right, that opens up one of our phone lines. Let's go this time to, well, I want to say Wisconsin, but he informed the new guy, Tommy, that he's in Wisconsin. Yeah, like I said, man. I don't care if you have a take, and you do suck. Do what you want if you're a Bucks fan. Mike, good to have you. Mike, what's going on?
Romy, thank you for the vibe. We are here. It was not one. It was not two, three, four, five. It was Bucks in six. Man, we got the greatest player to touch the ball right now in Giannis Antetokounmpo. We got that blue-collar dog mentality like Bonnie, Mother Bleepin' Portis. We're looking at this as not one, two, three. We're going to be winning back-to-back-to-back championships here. Y'all can say, y'all can hate that we won because of injury. But you look at a guy like Giannis putting up 50 points on a wheel that was supposed to be blown out. There's no stopping us, man.
My man, Mike in Wisconsin. Wisconsin. Can you feel Bucks fan? They are hyped. I mean, this is the way they sound the morning after, and you know, I know how they do it there, all right? Back in the day, I'm not even talking about the fact that I've got a son who goes to college there. I'm not talking about the fact that we have a home in the northern part of the state there. I'm talking about the fact that I did a tour stop in Madtown back in the day. I know how they get down. I know how they get after it. And that's when things are normal. How do you think, how hard do you think they go if they win an NBA championship for the first time in 50 years, and this is the way they sound this morning? I know how hard you went last night, Wisco, and I'm feeling it. I love it. Phone lines are open. Come in here. Tell me how it feels. I'm not saying tell me how my ass tastes. I'm not saying that at all, but I do want to know, what's it feel like? You've got a championship. You were down 2-0. Everybody was talking bleep. Trying to run your coach off. Talking about how Giannis, this bullcrap about how Giannis is some complimentary superstar. That he's too nice. That he's not the guy. That he can't make his throws. I want to know how it feels. I want to know what it was like to watch that. I want to know what it was like to be there for that. I want to know how it feels. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Fond du Lac. Craig, good to have you, Craig. How are you?
Jim, how you doing? Partying like rock stars last night. Watching Giannis, not my house. You're not taking it to my house. And now the NBA's on notice. This is the house. This is the house you have to come to. And by the way, Aaron, there's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Giannis.
My man, Craig, using that to take a shot at Aaron Rodgers. Come on, man. It's not about that. But it is your day. It is your talk show. You take it over. But don't use that as an opportunity to take a shot at Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was the first guy through on Twitter to hype up that win last night. You know, back to Giannis, though. I mean, Giannis, that point is true. I made that point myself. Not in my house. Not tonight. Giannis was not going to let that happen, and Giannis was not going to let anybody get on an airplane and go back to Phoenix. Man, that was not happening. There was no way Giannis was going to let that happen. And like I said, when all of them seemed like they had gassed out and they had nothing left, it was the big dog out there finding another gear and still with energy. And I'm trying to figure out exactly how that is when you consider what he had already done in that series. That the guy's out there on a bad leg, playing through the pain. And he's the guy with all the energy. Amazing. Let's get one more phone call in here before the break. Let's go to Appleton. Man, there's something about me being in Southern California live and looking at a call screen that's all Wisconsin. It's pumping me up in all different towns in Wisconsin. We go to Appleton. Greg, good to have you. Greg, how are you?
Hey, how you doing today?
Great. How are you today?
Oh, I'm absolutely fantastic. Got to stay in Wisconsin and watch the Bucks win for the first time. I was in kindergarten the last time they won. And Wisconsin has such loyal fans. That's why I feel he stayed in Wisconsin instead of going somewhere else for the big money.
That's the thing, right? I think, nice job, Greg. Congratulations. He said he was in kindergarten the last time they won. Pretty long wait, my man. So why did he stay? He said he stayed because it would have been easy or easier. Nothing's easy, but it would have been easier to just leave, to go to a major market, to join forces with other superstars. But he loved Wisconsin. He loved Milwaukee. He felt a loyalty to the organization for bringing him in. And Giannis's whole point was, man, I did everything that had to be done. I did everything. And he wasn't even saying it like, look at me, give me credit. His point was, I was willing to do whatever needed to be done to become the best player I could be and to be in this position. You know, his point, I came off the bench. I went to the developmental league. I paid my price. I played every position. I did what had to be done, and I stayed. And not only stayed, but stayed in Milwaukee. Hey, Wisconsin, I got a question. Do they have any landlines there? A good landline. Or a good green line. Or my Cream City cream line. Or a great like white line. Or any line. Or if I keep talking like this, will my voice get stuck? And when I make this face in order to make this voice, will my face get stuck? I don't know. That hurts, man. That's getting tougher and tougher to do in time. All right, so what I want to do right now, what I need to do right now is kind of change up on you a little bit. I don't want to kill the momentum, Bucks fan. So if you're on hold, stay there. I'm going to change up and talk some Patriots football next. And then hour number two is wide open. And I don't care if we don't do anything other than talk about how awesome it is to be in Wisconsin. Honestly, I know I need to program to several hundred affiliates and several billion listeners, but it's a very special day. I'm going to argue it's a special day for Bucks fan. I'm going to say it's a great day for the NBA, frankly, that Milwaukee won, that it was Giannis who led them to victory, and that Giannis didn't leave. Giannis stayed right where he was and proved that you can win anywhere you are if you have the right organization. And you have the right support, and they're patient enough, and they build it the right way, and they did. All of that still ahead. Adrian Phillips of the Patriots coming up next. Right now, here is your sports up.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I am Jim Rome. We are in Southern California. We are rolling through hour number one. I was going to say that Bucks fans have to be hungover. But judging from the ones I've had on the program already, I think they're still drunk. 1-800-636-8686. I mean that in a good way. All right, more on that in a minute, but let me change up on you. We're going to talk some Patriots football right now. We are joined by a safety. a Pro Bowler. He signed with the Patriots last March. He led them with 106 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, 2 INTs last year. He was undrafted way back in 2014 out of Texas. You've got New England opening up the preseason against Washington on August 12th. Adrian Phillips is my guest. Adrian, good to have you on. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Good, good. So let me ask you about last season, if you don't mind. It was your first in New England. Everybody's got this perception, like, of the Patriot way from the outside. So what was it like for you to actually go there and be a member of that team? How would you describe the Patriot way and the experience?
Man, it was different, you know. Coming from the Chargers, you know, spent my first 6 years out there and seeing how things were done, you know, you kind of get used to things being done a certain way, and then you see from afar how the Patriots are doing stuff. You see them winning games. You hear about this Patriot way. Like, what is this? What does this mean? Does this mean that you just work hard? Is it a military mindset? You hear all these different takes about how it is, and then I actually get to go there, and I see that the Patriot way is just basically doing your job. Just do your job. If everybody does what they're supposed to and holds themselves to a high standard, then more times than not, things are going to come out the way that they're supposed to go. So actually being immersed in that and being a part of that, I know we didn't have the season that we wanted, and there were some obstacles that we had to come through, but you see that from – we got there, I want to say middle of July, whatever it was, all the way into the end of the season. They did not change the way they coached. They didn't change the way that they went about things. It was always like holding themselves to the highest standard possible.
You know, the standard is the standard. I appreciate that response. That's about as good a response as I've ever heard to the question of what exactly is the Patriot way. Adrian Phillips is joining us. So, like, one more part about that. What was it like for you to go to a new team and learn a new scheme and do so during a pandemic?
Yeah, it was tough, especially when you have a guy like Coach Belichick and have all these people that are around him that have been around that system for so long, and you get used to a type of verbiage, a type of way that a certain defense is played, because I've been in that system for 6 years with the Chargers, whatever it may be. And I go to the Patriots, and it's something totally different. It's like you have your canvas. Here's your canvas. You can paint whatever you want on it. Like, we're going to give you the tools to put you in the right position, but you basically – have the freedom to do whatever you want. And like, the scheme's always changing, and you have to be a smart player to be in that defense. And I know that you got to be smart to play any defense, but that defense specifically, like, if you aren't studying, if you aren't taking it serious, then you won't succeed. And it was a new challenge for me, because I pride myself on being a smart guy when it comes to the X's and O's, and like, that was a huge challenge for me, and it gave me another level of understanding and another level of love for, like, the schematics behind stuff.
Adrian Phillips joining us. So you had to step your game up, even intellectually, mentally, but then your role, right, is so interesting, because I listed you as a safety at the top of the interview, but the truth is you played in the front seven quite a bit last year. In fact, as you've said, your first few years in the league, you played on the back end, but you've been moving up ever since then. What's that process been like for you?
Yeah, like, people try to define me, you know, and ask me, do I play safety or do I play linebacker, and I tell them I just play defense. Wherever I need to line up on the field to get the job done, that's where I'm going to be. So I was in the front seven quite a bit last year, and it's been more and more since I stepped into the league. You know, I've kind of been getting closer to the line, and you kind of see that with a lot of guys, a lot of safety types around the league. Just the game is changing. The backs are getting faster. Receivers are more amazing. Like, you just need – more speed on the field, and you need guys that can be able to cover receivers and be able to play in the box. Like, in with safety, you kind of have the perfect package in both if you find the right guy. So I was able to do it. I showed that I was able to do it a long time ago, and I think Coach Bill saw that, and he tried me out and started succeeding at it. So if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Adrian, it seems to me like if you play closer and closer to the line of scrimmage, guys might be getting faster and more athletic. I know the guys on the line are not getting any smaller, right? So when these big fellas are coming off the ball and they see a safety and they're looking to maul that safety, it seems to me, even as physical as you might be, some guys in your position might not want any part of that battle. What's it like dealing with those big guys up front? How do you approach it?
Yeah, you definitely got to have a mindset for it, and it's not for everybody. You know, you're going to have some good days and you're going to have some bad days. But fortunately for me, I've had more good than bad. And you kind of get to the point, you know, most teams, when they start out, they're like, oh, we're going to leave this guy on block. We're not really going to worry about him. We're going to worry about the other guys. And then you start making plays and they're like, all right, no matter what, we're not letting this little dude make these plays in the front seven. Like, we're not going to let him come in here and think that he can bang with us. And, so they start coming after you. They start seeing what you're made of, and that's when you really have to look inside yourself and say, hey, am I built for this? And I am. I believe that I am. So, you know, it's just me versus them. One of us is going to win, and like I'm going to choose me every time.
You're going to bet on you. In fact, you made the ultimate bet, Adrian, right, when coming out of college. You're entering your eighth year. As I mentioned off the top, you were undrafted. Most guys who come out who go undrafted never play a single down in the NFL, let alone eight seasons, and then go on to become an all-pro. How much pride then is there for you when you look back on your entire career?
You know, it was something that really caught me off guard because – coming out of college, you know, you hear all this stuff that you got all these people talking to you. Yeah, we're going to take you second, third round, whatever it may be, blah, blah, blah. And then it ends up not happening. And then you end up sitting at home for a month. And now it's like, I got a decision that I got to make right now. I'm either, when I get my opportunity, I'm either going to blow it or I'm not coming back home. Like, I told myself there was no way that I was coming back home. I was going to do whatever I had to do to make sure that I made my stamp in the league. And that's basically what I did, like betting on myself and believing in myself 100% and just putting everything out there that I know I had and just putting all that positive energy out into the universe and knowing that it was going to come back and just making the best of each opportunity that I got.
So, I mean, having said that, like you had that moment, right? That epiphany or that burn the boats moment, whatever that thing was that you just said, I get exactly what you're saying. Do you think you would have had that moment had you been selected in the third round? In other words, would you have had the same career or because you were not taken, do you think that actually you benefited from that? You're better for it.
Yeah, like looking on the back end of it and seeing where I am right now, getting the Pro Bowl, getting the All-Pro bid and still being in the league 8 years and generally being healthy, you know, I think I benefited from, well, I know I benefited from not being drafted. Like, who's to say where I would have been if I was a third round? Maybe I would have been complacent. You know, I'm not that type of guy, but you just never know. But honestly, not getting drafted lit a fire under me that's just, like, going to never die because I know how it feels to sit at home. I know how it feels to see those names go across the ticker and you not be one of them. And I know how it feels to be forgotten. And I never want to be forgotten again. So I'm going to do everything that I got to do to make sure that I'm remembered and make sure that I make myself proud and my family proud.
Like I always say, man, if you could bottle that stuff, dude, and you could sell it or you can inject people with it, that'd be like the best thing. Your wife,
right. Your
wife Camille is a doctor. I want to ask you about that really quickly. And you said that she was somebody that you relied upon for wisdom and advice during the past season. From a COVID standpoint, what types of things did she tell you?
Basically, she was on me every day, you know, because she was on the front line and I just want to give a shout out to everybody that was on the front line that helped in any way that they could through COVID, just because last year was a troubling year for all of us and so many loved ones were lost. And, you know, my heart goes out to those people that are still grieving from that. But it was something that we had to talk about. Like, was I even going to participate in the season, you know, and, if I did participate, like, what steps were I going to take? So she was a part of those conversations, like, not specifically with the NFLPA, but, like, listening on the calls and hearing about the precautions that we were going to take and stuff like that, like, because she wanted to be sure that if I was going to be playing in last season, that I was going to be doing everything possible to stay safe and keep everybody else safe. So I talked to her pretty much every day, and she was asking me if I got tested, asking me if I was washing my hands, make sure you're wearing your mask. Like, there would be times I wouldn't even be around people. I'd be outside, and we'd be FaceTiming. And I have my mask below my nose, and she's like, hey, pull your mask up right now. I'm like, dang, like, you know, I'm outside, nobody's around. But I get it. She was on the first line. She sees both sides of it. So there was, like, no give with her, and I appreciate that from her. And she just kept me on my toes.
You know it. He is an all-pro. He is a pro bowler. He signed with the Patriots last March, undrafted out of Texas. They open up the preseason against Washington. Adrian Phillips, my guest. Adrian, so good to get caught up with you, man. Great to have you on. Thank you so much for doing that.
Man, I appreciate you having me.
Appreciate you. Yes, sir. Always good to have a Pat, especially that one. Adrian Phillips. 8 years in, undrafted out of college. All right, setting up hour number two. Let's go back to you Buck fans. You did it. You did it.
We did it!
Giannis did it, and he was not alone. Giannis had help. I'm starting with Giannis because it was one of the all-time great things I've ever seen. Not one of the all-time great closeout performances. One of the all-time great things I've ever seen.
Did it.
And then this morning, he went with the 50-piece order from Chick-fil-A. Ritt was very quick to point out to me off-air that he generally goes with the 30-piece, so it's not as impressive as it sounds. All of that, still ahead.